Okay, we're on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. I think we just read the Mishnah, right? Yeah. Okay, so let's just read the Mishnah quickly so we know where we are. The Mishnah says as follows: Hamaare says Bito Vigirsha Irsa Venis Armalak Subasa Shalom. So man marries off his daughter. We're going to talk about how old she is, presumably when she's a katana, and she has Erisin, and then she is divorced, and then she has Erisin again with the new guy, and he dies. So ksubaso shalom, both times, it sounds like the ksuba money goes to the father, presumably because there was only Erisin here. And when there's Erisin, she still sort of remains somewhat in the rishos of the father. But hisia v'girshav, hisia v'nis armla, if they had nisuin, and the man then divorced her, and then she had nisuin with somebody else, and then she became an amana, ksubasa shalom, so she keeps the ksuba. So why? Presumably because once she has nisuin, she leaves her father's rishos, and the money now belongs to her. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, have we shown her shalav? So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, when it comes to the first husband, so in the first case, and presumably about nisuin, by the response of the Mishnah, that the first case of the first nisuin, once that happens, the ksuba actually goes to the father, but presumably the second case of nisuin, when she has the second nisuin, now goes to her. So amulo, mishisia, in love, you're shuspa. What are you talking about, Rabbi Yehuda? How can that be? Once she has nisuin, her father loses any jurisdiction over her, and that's why the money should go to the father. So why should it be the difference between the first case of nisuin and the second case of nisuin? So Gemara is going to explain as we move along. So it says the Gemara as follows. Taima dihisia v'girsha, hisia v'nis armla. Right? If you notice the examples that the Mishnah gives, they are very specific. Right? She gets married twice, and she is divorced. She gets married twice, and then her marriage ends twice. Right? But the way her marriages end are different. Right? The first case, the marriage ends through divorce, and the second time it ends through the death of her husband. So it says the Gemara, that's very specific. The Mishnah is being specific there. Why? Avanis armala tre zimni, if her husband would die twice, if two times in a row, the man she was married to passes away, sulo chazali in sube. Right? She's not allowed to get married anymore. Why not? She's called a katlonis. A katlonis is a woman who her husband keeps on dying, so it becomes a chazaka. That for some reason, something about being married to her is causing men to pass away. Right, look at Rashi. Sulo chazali in sube, says Rashi, dehavi chazaka liyos ba'aleha mesim. But she is now as a chazaka that her husband's passed away. Vidak tana b'milse delo linko b'derech po'arnos. And the Mishnah gave us this example, right? So it's not like as negative. And it's not saying, by the way, she can't get remarried. When the Mishnah gives the example of she's married and divorced, married and widowed, so it just gives that example. But it's that example specific. Why? Rather than saying, because if it would have said, she would have been married twice, then she can't get married again. It doesn't say that. So continuing the Gemara. So Gemara is the time of the Yisiyah V'gir Shah Yisiyah V'nish Armala. Avanis Armala Trey Zimni Sulo Chazalin Subay. Right? But if she was became an Almana twice, so then she wouldn't be able to marry anymore. Right? But Agav Orche Kasosimlan Tana Kerebi. And right, and sort of like Agav Orche literally means on its back, meaning without being explicit, but just kind of like, by the way, the Mishnah is able to teach us a halacha, or tell us that we paskin like the position of Rebbe, which was, what's the position of Rebbe? The Amr betray Zimni, Chavya Chazaka. Because Rebbe is of the opinion that the Machlokas in the Gemara, whether we assume it takes two times to create a Chazaka, or three times to create a Chazaka, right? A Chazaka of a lot of things. So Rebbe is of the opinion that it takes only twice. And the Mishnah seems to be implying that it's just kind of like talking out loud, but it happens, talking about a different case, but the implication is that even twice would make a chazaka. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'agav orche debay lak murinan mishpat ha-ksuba, right, because you want to teach me the halacha of ksuba, u'machlokash v'yehuda v'rabbanan nakat, machlokash v'yehuda v'rabbanan, and machlokash v'yehuda v'rabbanan about the question of the din of the ksuba. And then what happened? Nakat lishna didei, right, and then while doing so, it takes the lashon of Rabbi Yehuda, in a certain sense, lemistam lan kerabbi, right? To make it like it's almost like it's assumed that we're passing like Rabbi. The Amr Mesechi Zivamos Niseis Larishon Umes Lasheni Umes Lashlishi Lotinase the betray Zimne Havi Chazaka. Right, this is the opinion of Rabbi. that if she's married twice, so she's not allowed to get married again, and the man passes away each time, so she's not allowed to get married again, because again, now there's a chazaka. Fine. Okay. Rabbi Huda Omer, Harishona Shalav. So now the Gemara is going to deal with Rabbi Huda's opinion, right? And Rabbi Huda's opinion seemed to be a little bit strange. Why does he think that in the case where she becomes, her marriage ends twice from Nisuin, that the first time that the ksuba should belong to the father? Why would that be? So says the Gemara as follows. My time is Rabbi Huda. And why does Rabbi Huda hold such a thing? So Rabbi Rav Yosef, the Amrei Tevayu, Hol Umeshas Erisin, Zacha Behenav. So I'll tell you why. The reason is because at the moment of Erisin, right, the moment she gets, quote, engaged, right, halachically engaged to her husband, so the zechus of the ksuba already belongs to the father. Why is that? Look at Rashi. The mishas Erisin shabal harishon nischayv la ksuba v'zacha ba'av. Right, from the moment that she has Erisin to the first man, so he immediately has to give her a ksuba. The requirement of ksuba is activated at the moment when they do kiddushin, right? And therefore, and the father still has a zechus in that ksuba because she is still sort of connected to her father when she has erisin. Right? Aval be'erisin sheni lo zacha, but by the second erisin, she doesn't have that zechus. Why? Right? So once she has nisuin with the first guy, so now she leaves the rishus of her father, and at that point, okay, so now she has a new Erisin, there's nothing to talk about because she had already left her father's rishus when she did Nisuin. So the point is that it's a case of Nisuin, right? But on the way to Nisuin, we go through Erisin. And the first, and the moment we hit Nisuin, there's an activation of that chiyuv of Ksuba. And the assumption here that Gemara has, and it's something I think we've talked about before, is that from the moment of when does the chiyuv Ksuba begin? And when does that start? So the assumption of our Gemara is that it starts at Shas Erisin. Right? So if it starts at Shas Erisin, she is sort of like still traveling between the rishus of her father and her new husband. But on the way, before she totally leaves her father's rishus, the chiyuv of the ksuba is activated, even though the ksuba is not yet written until just before they get married, before Nisuin. So we'll see. But fine. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda's, what he says is, the bottom line is, since she is still in her father's rishus, when the chiyuv ksuba is activated, so when it comes to the first ksuba, that would still, that would still go to the father. Fine. So the Gemara is not happy with this. So Masiv Rava attacks Rabbi Huda Omer Harishona Shal'av. Right? So on the one hand, it says Rabbi Huda holds that the first ksuba goes to the father. Umod Rabbi Huda, b'ma'aris es bito kashi katana. Rabbi Huda also agrees that if a man would be ma'aris his daughter when she is a katana, u'bagra, and now she becomes a gadola, right? So she's ma'aris her while she's less than 12. And then she doesn't get married for a while. I think you wait a year. So she gets married. So now she becomes a bogeris. She's a full adult. She's almost 13 years old. And v'achach nises. And now she gets married. Right? So they do nisuin. She'ein lavi rishuspa. So Rabbi Huda agrees in that case that the father has no rishus. So what's going on? Am I? Hachanami lema holu mishas erisin zacha benav. Right? So I don't understand. If Rabbi Huda's whole approach is that since the moment of erisin, the father is, the chiyuv ksuba is activated at that moment, in which case the father should have the zechus in that ksuba. So why in this case, where she doesn't become doesn't do nisuin until she becomes a bogeres, is the father not have, a zechus in that ksuba? What we care about is when the ksuba was activated, which was when she was a ksana. So Ella, itmar hachiyimar. So fine, you're right. So you have to say it a little different. What's the answer? What's the explanation? What's really the approach of Rabbi Huda? So Ella, itmar hachiyimar. Rabba Rav Yosef de Amrei Tevayu hol ubirshuso nichtavin. No. So what's the reason? The reason why the father still has a connection to the ksuba is because when the ksuba was written, right? Not just that there's a theoretical. And not even just theoretical, maybe a practical activation of the chiyuv ksuba at Shas Erisin, right? The moment they do kiddushin, but the ksuba is not written until, in this case, sounds like much later, until the actual nisuin is going to take place, right? So if that's true, so why does Rabbi Huda hold in the case where she becomes older and then, you know, a bogeris, and then gets, and then does nisu, and that he has no sechus. Presumably the answer is because that when the, even though the chiyuv ksuba was activated at erusin, there was no actual ksuba written until she was already a bogeris, right, before nisuin. So the point being that Rabbi Yehuda must hold, it's not about when the chiyuv ksuba is activated, it's when the ksuba is actually written, right? So very often that could be all at the same time. So it could have been a case where there's erusin where she's a katana, and then she's going to have nisuin when she's a katana also, right? In which case, even the ksuba is written when she's a katana, and he has and again, it all happens before nisuin, and the ksiva happens before she, you know, while she's a katana also, in which case he's zochah in the whole thing. But even according to Yehuda. But the point being, there could be scenario, if, since it depends on the ksiva, not on the moment of activation, of the activation of the chiyuv, so therefore, so that's why you have to be a little more specific in terms of how you understand the sheet of Rebuta. It's not about the moment of the chiyuv coming, you know, being chal. It's the moment that the suba is written, which sometimes is not the same. Okay. Yeah, fine. Okay, so the Gemara now asks a different question, though. Umigba me'imas gabye. Fine. So let's assume that the ksuba is written. Good. And the ksuba is, but we've now seen that there's sort of like two moments in time that matter to us, right? The Shas Erisim, there's sort of like the requirement to now give your wife a ksuba because she's already been, because once you have Erisim, there presumably would be a ksuba at some point, and the moment when you write the ksuba, right? So, and the Shas Yisuin. But so the question is going to become, what happens if there's a collection that needs to take place, and there were, right, whenever we have a debt that's ever in place, so let's say that at some point they get divorced, or at some point he dies, and they need to collect money from his estate in order to, the estate of the husband, in order to pay the ksuba. So, and what happened at some point? At some point, let's say he sold off some of his assets, right? He sold a field, whatever it was, and now it comes time to collect, he doesn't have any assets. So what do? We say, that's totally fine, but we go back to the people who purchased the field from him at the time when he, right, already had been mechayiv himself in the ksuba, because when they made that purchase, they knew that this guy is on the hook for whatever it is, $20,000 of that ksuba, and they may have to pay up, right?
So there's another transaction.
It's considered a transaction that's done like Bacharias. It's done with an understanding that this person has debts to pay. So since he has debts, because what can a person do? A person can have debts, right? And then he goes out and he sells all his property. And then what happens, people say, come back and say, okay, we're going to collect now. And he's like, well, sorry, I sold my property, you know, I got rid of my money, and I have nothing to pay you, sorry. Right? So in order to protect the... Yeah, the person who's holding the shtar. It could be any type of debt, and to protect that person. So any transaction that takes place afterwards is done with a certain understanding that there is a debt on, you know, there's a lien on the property in a certain sense. So look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, "Umigva me'evas gav ya klomar le'inyan zechia da'av." Right, in terms of the fact that the father, right, has a zechus, right, the father of the girl who got married, right, has a zechus to chazina and the lav baser eris and azlina, right? We even afilu Rabbi Yehuda. We've already seen that we don't necessarily go back to shas nisuin according to eris and according to Rabbi Yehuda. Kitikatani umod Rabbi Yehuda b'maris is bito bagra, etc. Alma baser ksiva azel leinyan mitarif lekuchos. Right, and so you see that you go according to when the ksuba is written in terms of going to collect from the people who have later. Lekuchos, they've later taken, bought land from the guy, right? So me'emas tarfa mi'mishabde, mishas erisin, right? So the question now becomes like this. So now the marriage ends, and it's time to collect from the estate of the original husband. And he has sold his property, right? So let's say he sold the property between erisin and nisuin, right? So the question is going to become, when do we say, so they got Arison, they did Arison, now he sells the land to Reuven, and then they wrote the ksuba. So can I go to those people who bought the land after Arison, but before the ksuba was written, and say to them, sorry, I know that he sold you the property, but that property really belongs to me now, because he was chayv in the ksuba. So do we say, no, what are you talking about? there's no, the ksuba doesn't make a difference until it's written, right? And we bought the property, we bought the land before that ksuba was ever written, in which case our hands are clean and we're you can't come to us. Or do we say, no, the moment of Erisin happened, and the moment the Erisin happened, he was chayv to pay the ksuba. And since he was chayv to pay the ksuba, when you bought the property for him, you knew that at some point I might show up to collect. And the chayv was already there, and I already had the zechus in that ksuba. So the question becomes, which time frame do we care about in terms of, you know, activating the opportunity for the father of the bride to be able to come back and collect from these people who had purchased the property? Yeah? Okay. Right, keep reading in Rashi for a second. So we said, Alma Bashak Siva Azil, the Inni Mitarf the Kuchos, the Inni Mitarf the Kuchos, May Emas Tarf and Mishad. When, from what time are they able to come collect? Right, Mishad meaning after Mishas Erisin, Tamahi Shaita Yichayv Bitakanta de Rabbanan. Right, again, the requirement of Ksuba assumes Takanas Rabbanan. But the point is, do we say from that moment, right, that the Erisin took place, now he was Chayv to give a Ksuba? So that's the time when we can say, look, if you purchase a property after that time, then you knew we were going to come to collect. O Dilma Ashas Ksiva to have a Malva Bishtar Lo Tarfor. Do we say no? There was nothing written. There was no his chayvus that the guy made it himself until he writes it down, right? And says, you know, I owe you the following money. And until that happens, you know, it's not their fault. I think part of the question also revolves around what does the person know when they make the purchase? Because right, if there's an understanding when they make the purchase, first of all, not just that they knew about it, but also the price will be lower. Right? If I'm selling my property with the understanding that I have that I'm chayv to something, the price is going to drop significantly. Right? So it's also, you know, they could claim, what do you mean? We had no idea. The answer is you did know. Right? And you actually paid less for that reason. But that might only be a case when someone wrote a shtar, when there's a shtar, now there's a kol, people know about it. Without a shtar, there's a lot less likely that people would know about it. Okay. So let's go back to the Gemara. Okay, so umigva me'emas gabia. Right. So now we understand our question. From when would the father or whoever is going to collect on her behalf going to collect? Right. Depending on what's happened so far. So from the shas erusin, do we care about the shas erusin? Do we care about the shas ksivas again? So which is all before nisuin. So amrav huna mana masayim mina erusin v'tosefes mina nisuin. Okay, so Funa says the following: Mana or Masayim, 100 or 200 zuz, which is sort of the standard amount that the person has to give in the ksuba. So that's Mina Erisin, meaning from the moment of Erisin, everybody knows he's giving 100 or 200 zuz. That everybody knows. But Tosefes, right? But any additional amount of the ksuba that he decides to give, that's only from the nisuin. And I wonder if when we say nisuin, we mean nisuin mamish or the shas ksuba haget. But the point being, if you're gonna, what Rufuna is saying is, if you're gonna say the purchasers should have known that he was chayav to pay, how much can they know about? They're only gonna know whatever the standard amount is, right? Whatever the standard amount is that the chazal require the person to give, that's the only amount. So if this guy decides to give 500 zuz, that's not my fault. I didn't know that, right? He hadn't written the gate. He hadn't written the shtar yet, right? Rav Asi Amar, echad zeh ve'echad zeh min hanisuin. Rav Asi says no. We actually wait for the entire process to be finished. There has to be the shtar has to be actually written out. Otherwise, it's not going to do anything. Look at Rashi. So Rashi says. So Rashi makes that point. Manam asayim and tosefes. But what we just said, right? The amount that's standard that you can expect them, the extra that you can't expect them to know about until it's written. But look, echazev echazem in nisuin. So the opinion of Rav Asi is that no, we always go according to shas nisuin. Why? Dehi gufa machla l'shibuda kama v'nitzratzis bizmanakasev b'shtar haksuba kecholam b'furish ba bein ikar bein tosefes. I mean, at that moment, that is the moment when he, right, is giving up in a certain sense. And we're going to see why this plays out in a second. When the guy, when they get engaged, when they do erisim, what happens? There's an assumption already, mana masayim, right? 100, 200, he's going to give. When he then writes, I'm going to give you 300 zuz. What's the assumption? She was mocheles already. She said, I'm absolving you from the original 200, right? We're going to see the language in a second, right? It's as if when the shtar is written, it's not like, right, here's formalizing the you know, requirement that I had earlier. That's not what's happening. Right, what's happening instead is she's mochel. She says, forget it. Whatever you were originally going to give me at the Shas Erusin, that's finished. And here's a new agreement. Oh, if it's a new agreement, so then anyone who purchases the Shas Erusin, there's already no money there anymore. Right, there's no eschaivas there anymore. And therefore, it all goes basar the time that we go according to the moment.
They had to have known that they were that he was chayv at least 100 or 200. I mean, okay, the extra, but he can't. How can he say?
How does the mechila matter?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's a good question. Let's see see if we answer it as we move on. It's a good point, right? Right. It's a good point. Meaning, at the end of the day, the answer might be that they may have known, but there's also an assumption that when you have the ksivas again, there's a mechila on that amount. And once there is mechila on that amount, so then it's as if, you know,
and
I knew it was going to be, right.
And it's retroactive.
Retroactive mechila, maybe, yeah. Which is a little harder, but I hear you. I hear you saying. Fine. It says the Gemara as follows. Umiyam Rav Huna Hachi. So Rav Huna said, Manam Asayin from Erisin and Tosevis meaning Nisuin, right? So it depends when you catch me, right? Is it the basic amount? That's Shas Erisin, and the Tosefes is later. So they said, really, Rav Huna really says, just a thing. Veha Itmar. But we have the following concept, the following case. Hotzi Alav Shteik Subos. And what if a woman gets married? Now it's time to get divorced. And she says, I actually have two Ksubas. Okay? Acha Shama Sayim. Va'acha Shashlosh Meos. One's 200, and one's 300. Okay? Va'am Rav Huna, and Rav Huna himself said, Bas legavas masayim gov mizman rishon. Right, if you want to collect the 200 ksuba, so there you go based on the earlier zman, right, from Erisin. Right, shalosh meos gov mizman sheni. But if you want to collect the 300, so you have to go by the later date. Okay. That Rav Huna himself says vim isa tikve masayim mizman rishon umeya mizman sheni. But according to Rav Huna, if the assumption is that Tosefes is just added on, right? So what could I have said? No problem. The first ksuba is from the earlier moment, and the second ksuba is from later on when he added. And really, what is the amount? 300, right? And that's the total amount. But the 200 already starts earlier, right? And she should be allowed to collect the full 300. Just the timing would depend. Who had purchased in the meantime. So the Gemara says, no, that doesn't make any sense. V'li tameich, tigvi chamesh meos. Right? You know, tameich can collect, according to what you're telling me, she can collect twice. So what? So she should collect 500? Right? The 200 and the 300? The case, again, the ksuba is ksuba of 200, the ksuba of 300. So we said, at least Kodra Vuni should collect 200 from the beginning and 100 from later on. Right? But the Gemara says, if you take your logic to the ridiculous extreme, let her collect both ksubas in total. And collect 500, which obviously makes no sense.
This just seems more as insurance as opposed to like an added amount, though, doesn't it? Meaning, if you're not sure which one you're going to collect, then you just, well, I have both.
Right.
Right? So it's not as if you
actually collect both.
Right.
Right, you're saying this is like a progression, which is more, which is obvious. Right. You're correct. No one really means you should collect 500. The point is that, but you're assuming that wasn't mechila. At least. So if it wasn't a mechila, then we should always let her collect, you know, the 200 first and then the 100 later, because the assumption is that the first, again, it's more about the timing. Mm-hmm. The first 200 were already chal at that original time. So says Gemara, what you're saying, so, you know, kulam, right? Masai mizman rishon, utlas mea mizman sheni, right? That obviously you're not. So why is that ridiculous? Why would I never say collect 500? Kevin the locus of law civisi vosifis lacha tlos mea amasim, because he didn't write explicitly, look, I gave you 200, five, you know, this 300 is on top of that 200. He didn't write that explicitly, right? So hachika amala imizman. So what was he saying to her? Imizman rishon givias gavi masim. Look, if you're going to collect from the first, you know, the first juncture, you collect 200. Imis man sheni, givias plus mea. And what's he saying? But if you can collect later, then you can get to collect, you know, the 300. So hachanami hainu taima de lo gavya. So here too, why is she not, you know, able, you know, collect earlier? Mi de lo kasev la usifis lacha mea amasayim. Right? Achul chilse l'shibu l'kama. Again, what's the reason where we would say she shouldn't collect all 300 later? Is because we don't have this. He didn't write explicitly, I'm adding this on to your original 200, another, right, another 100. In which case, again, in which case what? She's still getting 300. But the 300 is activated only then, at the time of the second supa. And because of that, what does that mean? Since he didn't explicitly say, I'm adding it on, there's an assumption of mechila on the original, right? It's like any new deal, right? Whenever we enter into a new deal, what's the assumption? The old deal is batel, right? And since the old deal, it must be mechila on the old chiyuv, so the only chiyuv is the new one. If the only chiyuv is the new one, again, this is just a sheet of Rabbi Huda, we could disagree with him. But Rabbi Huda is going to say, what's happened here is there's a totally new deal now. Totally new deal here now means the original deal expired, in which case no one can go ahead and collect based on that deal. Okay, so we'll pick up with Afim Dala next week.